Hey there, listeners. This is Henry Zebrowski, and I just wanted to thank all of the amazing companies that donated their time and energy and artists who gave their work for free for the Samhain Gala. We ended up raising over $10,000 for charity and something like 75 pounds of clothes went for our No New Dudes clothing drive, which I'm crazy proud of. I want to thank you so much for the support. And here we go. It's for Brave New World Tattoos, Kate at Mr. Holmes Bakehouse, the macaron guy at Crumble Bumpets, which is a beautiful company. It's very tasty, very light macaroons. Stephanie and Moonbean Wax Melts, she gave so much. It was so, thank you so very much. The Bigfoot Lounge, Hyena Gallery, and the Bearded Lady Mystic Museum. And I want to like to thank the artists that donated their work, Patrick Kane, Andrea Everard, Shane Walsh, Christian Michael, Jeff Adams. Thank you so much. Hail Satan, and we'll see you next year.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Now, all I... So, Bill Cooper essentially has ruined Alex Jones for me, which is very sad for me.
Oh, I know. You're devastated.
But I will say... His body is the best body in alternative entertainment.
Wow.
Alex Jones has an incredible body, and I celebrate his body, and I'm trying to get it. And I started realizing, you know what you do to get it?
What's that?
So I've been dieting like normal and working out, but what you got to do is a lot of weights that come from your knees up, a lot of holding big, like you're holding a big woman or a big man, and they're grinding on you, and you have to keep them from getting off your lap.
Like, that's like a good way. Dumb Navy SEAL training.
That's a good way. And then it's a lot of high-fat meats. And boozes.
So you're going back to your Chris Farley diet.
Alex Jones got the way he looks perfect by getting fat on whiskey, which is really difficult.
All right. That's very true. All right. Let's move on to, before Alex Jones, there was a conspiracy theorist, Bill Cooper. We're on to part two of Bill Cooper, and a lot to get to here. A lot of craziness.
And who are
you
we,
have
Ben?
To introduce
Oh, my God. They know who we are. Okay. We've had this argument before. There was a whole show intro. Uh-huh. There's no place to escape to.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Welcome. It's the last podcast on the left.
Are our names said?
I am Ben Kissel.
You are a host.
That is Marcus Parks.
Which one? You just pointed at who?
That's Marcus Parks.
That's radio.
You're Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah.
I am Ben Kissel. Marcus, speak.
Hello.
Marcus. Henry, speak. That's Henry. We're on to Bill Cooper part two.
So before we get into the meat of the episode, we got to make one correction right up top. The man who Bill Cooper shot in his final stand did not actually die.
Yeah. He's innocent.
That's great. Good
no, he's
him.
Not. No, he's still an attempted murderer.
Well, you know.
Yeah, he shot him twice in the head and he failed.
But in the end, I think it shows me, and it should show all of you, he didn't really want to kill him.
He shot him twice in the head.
But.
Yes. He didn't shoot him with the singing bullets from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
You don't know what
they
he
were
did.
Trying to kill him.
Bill Cooper had his own means and his own ways, and the ways to the means.
All right.
Now, well, in the last episode, we covered a range of chapters from Behold a Pale Horse. On this one, we'll be focusing completely on a chapter called The Secret Government, in which Bill Cooper presents us with the big granddaddy of alien conspiracies.
I'm going to say this also up top. If you're listening to this podcast, congratulations. We're good. We're good at the show. All right. And we like to provide content. We do a lot of work.
Okay.
But what you got to do is stop listening to everything. Stop listening to everything that you do. Anything. Your parents, your
psychology?
Fucking wife, your husband. Stop listening to these people. Stop listening to the podcast. Buy a copy of Behold a Pale Horse and read it. And then listen to several of his lectures, because there's no way you're going to get all of the fun as fuck important details that should be in the story
fun
without
as
reading
fuck.
It.
Fuck. To you.
No. To everyone with
Marcus
a fucking brain.
Marcus was pointed at Henry there.
Now, we are going to be covering some ground we've already tread, but it's important to review some of this so we can see the whole picture. That whole picture is how all this specifically, probably, led to the formation of the New World Order.
Ooh, NWO.
Yes.
I got it.
The chapter we're talking about was based off a lecture Bill Cooper gave at a MUFON symposium in Las Vegas in 1989, which is ironic considering comments he made further into the chapter.
Can you imagine what the slot machines looked like during the MUFON conference.
Sticky.
Just the amount of just, I was promised a free drink if I'm playing the slots, and I have been playing the slots for 2 hours, and no one has offered me a free drink.
I will say this. I imagine they were unoccupied, because MUFON members are very serious about attending the lectures.
Yes,
that is
true.
They sit there, they buy all the memorabilia, they take a lot of notes. And someone brought up to me on Twitter, is that technically, if you were correct in the pronunciation of UFO of UFO, it could be MUFON. But the thing is that MUFON is more about sounds, right? MUFON sounds better than MUFON, because MUFON just sounds like, oh man, I can't grow pubes. I better put my muff on before I see my girlfriend for my birthday.
But sounds like a bizarre attachment to a sex toy.
But before we get into Bill's very harsh criticisms of the UFO community, let's take a trip with him all the way back to 1947.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. In rock and rock and rock. Rock and roll, ding dong.
Oh, the spritzer, please. Just a seltzer water for me.
So the total count of extraterrestrial crash landings worldwide that we know of from January 1947 until December of 1952 sits at 16.
Okay.
Of those 16, 13 were in America.
Pay attention.
Nice.
One in Arizona, one in Nevada, and 11 in New Mexico.
Indians. Ooh.
The others landed in Old Mexico and Norway, scoring 2 and 1, respectively.
Well, how the hell did the one land in Norway? Way off course.
I don't know. They probably thought that they were going to Epcot, and then they ended up in shitty, real Norway. Actually, that's not true. Apparently, Norway's very nice.
Yeah,
we covered it in Norwegian Black Metal. They said it's a very liberal, lovely, lovely country that's so liberal it makes people mad.
There it is.
Spread across those 16 ships were 65 aliens, all deceased upon crashing, but one, whom we'll get to later. Mm. Two crafts alone, one found near Aztec and the other near White Sands, both in New Mexico, held 17 aliens.
All right.
Well, or bodies, or mixtures, or depending upon, it's either conscious aliens and they're organic robots, if it's grays and whites, if it's possible that it's something that just look like humans. Yeah, they mix.
Oh, okay.
They have to mix. They're employees' employers.
Oh, I see. And there's rules.
Barely absorb any single thing we talk about.
Yeah, yep.
But perhaps even more terrifying, besides concrete evidence that alien life existed, was the fact that most of the ships were chock full of human body parts.
Now, you remember that during, mixed into the alien phenomenon, alien crash phenomenon, there's a lot of animal mutilations and also human mutilations and human implants that are done. And so what they're saying is that when they go to these crashes, now and imagine this, right? For some reason, it's all the Navy doing this shit, too. It's like the Air Force was like kind of a part of it, but they're only a part of it when they're in the sky. The Navy handled them when they're on the ground, which I don't really understand why, because Navy's...
It's for the sea.
I think maybe it's because you can keep a lot more secrets out on the ocean.
Well, maybe the government really didn't want them to do a good job, so they brought the people who are good on water to the land and brought the land people to the water. Well,
technically, that is sound conspiracy theory thinking.
It's a thought.
Well, the Air Force wasn't actually created until 1947. So by the time these crash landings happened, then the Air Force was still a pretty new organization. And some might say that the Air Force might have been created as a direct response to the alien threat.
You might say. I'm definitely saying. And so the Navy would go and go find these ships that landed or crashed. Because some of them they found completely intact, just there with dead aliens inside of it. Sometimes they found them all ripped up, and they would go, and there would be bodies strewn everywhere, or the thing would be ripped over to the side like a bunch of aluminum foil, because they said like in Roswell, it was a very flimsy metallic material that they all seemed to, somehow the anti-gravitational engines that they use or the weird reactors that only work with water, which is apparently a thing that they said that they found, these little football shaped things, or as Bill Cooper said, larger than a football or a small basketball.
Oh, so maybe like a rugby ball.
Yes, rugby ball. Yeah. That would have been good, but he's a Texan, so he didn't give a shit about
rugby. So he
didn't
think about that.
And so they would go, and they would go through these wreckage. They don't know what they're looking at, but as they're digging through the wreckage, they're finding all these feet. and hands and shit like just in it.
It's like Picton's pig farm.
Yes. And well, they got very concerned. So now they realize, oh, this is a part of where the secret keeping mechanism is going to come in. Because up until this point, they were just finding alien bodies and ships, right? And so they were very, like, at this point, it's just like a question, being like, what the fuck are these ships? What are aliens? Why are they here? They're already panicking. As soon as they started finding knees, they knew that they had to start doing something.
Well, this, of course, it caused quite a bit of alarm. So the government decided to do something about it. That something was the CIA.
Ooh, Central Intelligence Agency.
Great, Kissel.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
No problem.
So you're just going to sort of try to cling on to the things you sort of understand.
Yes.
The entire purpose of the CIA, at least at first, was to deal with the alien threat that humanity had just been faced with for the first time. It was only later that the whole thing would get out of hand.
I don't know. I feel like once that first alien ship crashes in 1947, shit got out of hand.
Oh, yeah.
Now, all this happened during the Truman administration, and Truman's Secretary of Defense was an honest man named James Forrestal, who believed wholeheartedly that the public should know about all this UFO business.
He also may have been a little anti-Semitic.
Oh, there was a lot of that.
He was very much so against the creation of Palestine.
I did not know that.
It's interesting.
Well, if he was against the creation of Palestine, that would make him pro Israel.
It was something. So. There's a lot of complicated issues in that world.
Yeah, well, it's the Middle East.
I handle aliens.
Yeah, I handle aliens
and UFOs. That's what I understand. Yeah. I started reading about it, and he seemed to be very upset.
Well, Truman decided that all this was best left to the shadows, so he forced Forrestal to resign his post. Forrestal then suffered a quote-unquote mental breakdown and was remanded to the mental ward at Bethesda Naval Hospital. And there, according to Bill Cooper, CIA agents tied one end of a bedsheet around Forrestal's neck and the other end to a fixture in his hospital room and threw Forrestal out the window. The sheet broke and Forrestal fell to his doom.
Yes, and people say that the fall causes death, but actually I think it was the street.
Yeah, it could be.
It's also what's called the CIA Christmas ornament.
Yeah, it is like such a ridiculously stupid way for the CIA to kill someone.
Yeah, Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're going to see a lot of weird logic. And a part of it is sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. So if you want to make a thing to appear to be the truth, it has to look really weird.
Stranger than fiction.
See?
Yeah.
Now, Forrestal's diaries, which were full of alien tidbits.
It's pretty fucking cool. His diaries are like the secret diaries of Laura Palmer or the book about the mysteries behind Twin Peaks.
The secret dossier, which if you haven't read is fucking great. And the second one is almost even better.
And Forrestal's in there. You gotta remember, Forrestal was trying to, he was going to say like, we need to do something about these aliens. Basically, all of this alien shit started coming in because now immediately they're trying to compartmentalize like on a need to know basis. Who's going to know about these aliens? Aliens, we have to keep a really, really tight lid on all of the shit that's happening.
Sure.
Forrestal was already kind of cracking.
Yeah.
We viewed him as because he was so fucking pure, he couldn't handle the truth hard enough.
Well, it would destroy a lot of things if they found out about the aliens. Religion's gone. The country is gone.
Oh, you don't even know the half of it, Kissel. It's starting now.
I don't know if you know the half of it.
I do know.
You know the half of it?
I know. I think actually I'm afraid that I only know half of it. But Forrestal is really, his death was very fishy.
Yeah. It was extremely fitting. And it did actually happen. He did, he was, at least fell out of a window. He was either thrown out or by himself committed suicide. We don't really know, but it was a fishy death.
And he wrote this sort of final letter that was a poem that I forget that goes, it was from some Greek play that was just about sadness and looking upon the rocks of the beach, but the final thing was like, oh, and then behold the soul of the Nightingale. And Nightingale was the code name for one of the Nazi scientist groups that Forrestal helped bring to the United States during Operation Paperclip. And they're thinking that he may have been a feeling guilt for having done that.
Fair Salamis, the billows roar, wander around thee yet, and sailors gaze upon thy shore firm in the ocean set. Thy son is in a foreign clime, where Ida feeds her countless flocks, far from thy dear remembered rocks, worn by the waste of time, comfortless, nameless, hopeless, save in the dark prospect of the yawning grave. Woe to the mother in her close of day, woe to her desolate heart and temples gray, when she shall hear her loved one's story whispered in her ear. Woe, woe will be the cry, no quiet murmur like the tremulous wail of the lone bird, the querulous nightingale.
I gotta say, He seems suicidal.
Yeah, it's sad. So, it's a sad poem.
So that's kind of more proof that it might have been a suicide. But what does this have to do with Bill Cooper?
He's being very Elliot Smith. You should understand. It all has to do with Bill Cooper.
Oh, we're getting into
it, man.
Because this is a huge story that's all coming together. Because Bill Cooper, in this case, we're just talking about Bill Cooper's theories.
Right.
You know, it's all coming together because those diaries that were written by James Forrestal were taken, rewritten, edited, and years later released to a CIA agent named Whitley Strieber.
Yeah.
Author of Communion. And then he rewrote it and released them as the book we know as Majestic.
And then Whitley Strieber became the worst dinner guest of all time, constantly being like, thank you so much for having me for dinner. It has been wonderful. The mashed potatoes are so silky. They're so wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. So I worked really hard on those.
Yeah. It's really, it means a lot. Yeah. When the alien first raped me, he spread me so open that the cracks of my anus, it was dry down there.
You know, the funny thing
it was
is,
February, yeah. So I was getting ashy around my lips part. So just the stretching of it cracked to the point of bleeding.
We also have green beans.
Yeah, I also made green beans.
Yeah.
Long and thin.
Yeah, like...
like the fingers of the gray.
Okay.
As he slowly penetrated my anus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, try the steak.
Well, speaking of pop culture, let's return to that surviving alien we mentioned earlier. That creature was found wandering the deserts of New Mexico following the Roswell crash.
It is like so funny to think about this cute like alien all alone.
And he was named Ebi by his captors.
Oh. Extraterrestrial biological entity.
Ebi,
okay.
And it took 2 full years of captivity and interrogation for Ebi to start spilling secrets, but eventually he opened up.
Oh my God! Just give him a Coke. Don't they see the advertisements?
You know,
give him
I know.
A Coca-Cola Classic.
We're gonna
he'll
get
start
into
talking.
Why he couldn't have a Coke and a smile.
Now, the things we learned from Ebi were compiled into the infamous Yellow Book. Now, Henry, could you tell us what the Yellow Book is?
Of course I can. Now, what the Yellow Book started as was a notebook that the guy that was assigned to Ebi, his interrogator, who eventually, and his hostage taker, and eventually turned friend, an unnamed lieutenant that would sit and take notes of what Ebi said. Now, originally, when they would ask questions of Ebi, Ebi didn't want to... Aliens have a lying problem, which is the weird thing that pops up. They have a problem with lying. They always lie.
Why?
And so, because they have agendas that are past us. They have agendas that are past us, and I think they hold their cards really close to their chest. They don't want you to know the plans, because I think a lot of the plans have to be, you'll be dead in 2200. Whether you have to be like, they can't really fill us in the whole plan because we're just waiting here. We're just batteries, or we're being used for hybrid programming, and once we're done with it, we'll be fucking shucked to the side, Kissel.
All right.
Do not trust the aliens.
I don't. I never have.
EB was so cute that he would only answer questions that had a positive answer. Mm-hmm. So it's stuff be like, so, EB, what is, what's your favorite television show?
I like Jackie Gleason. He is funny the way he threatens to beat his wife.
So, but, so when will I die, EB? Is it soon?
No.
You're nodding your head.
I do like that Ebi was aware that the Honeymooners was problematic.
Well, what's funny, Henry, is that you may have brought up Jackie Gleason.
I know.
Subconsciously.
I know exactly why I brought up Jackie Gleason. Because Jackie Gleason had a story about LBJ.
Nixon.
No, I heard LBJ.
I heard Nixon.
I heard it was an alien.
Yes. He went to go, LBJ or Nixon showed Jackie Gleason a dead alien body.
Mm-hmm. Because Nixon and Jackie Gleason were friends. And one night, Nixon and Jackie Gleason were hammered at the White House.
You want to see a fucking alien? Yeah, this will get your dick hard, Jackie, huh?
To the moon!
Yeah, and Jackie Gleason didn't say anything about it. It wasn't until a few years ago that Jackie Gleason's wife came out. But she wanted to say it in her biography, but her biography got scrubbed by the powers that be, but word got out.
Order of the Nine.
I can't believe.
Own the publishing companies. And so the Yellow Book ended up being just his notes. But we're going to find out, there's, we already did in Project Serpo, the Yellow Book at some point transforms into a digital square that holds the story of all humankind.
So the Yellow Book is the notes of the person who was interrogating Ebi.
Yes. Okay. And the Yellow Book was just the Ebi began to describe how the human being, how we got here, and the story of his people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, unfortunately, E.B. got sick in 1951, and none of the doctors knew what to do, as E.B. was closer to a plant than a human.
That's why he can't have a coat.
That's why he can't have a coat, because his system was all about chlorophyll.
Oh, my goodness. You can't even have a Pepsi.
But he's kept underground.
Yeah.
Right, because we're going to be like, he has to be underground because that's where all our biggest secrets are kept. Mm-hmm. So he can't get the light and the nutrients he needs.
Mm-hmm. There's only like a young person, really smart, big brain, above average intelligence, maybe named Sheldon.
No.
Like a young Sheldon. Maybe could have broken E.B.
That would have been a good story for Sheldon to have ended up being brought down to Los Alamos, and then E.B. shoots him with a fucking laser and his skeleton's exposed.
Well, who they did bring in was a botanist named Dr. Guillermo Mendoza.
Okay. He sounds like a Robin Williams Hispanic character.
That sounds fun.
Ay, ay, ay. You mean to tell me, I thought I come to look at a rose. You make me look at this tiny man. Hey, what's a botanist to do?
Well, I'm not sure. He might not have sounded that way. I don't know. We'll say that one's up in the air.
Well, even though they brought in Dr. Mendoza, E.B. died anyway on June 2nd, 1952. And this is where the pop culture comes in.
Hmm.
Almost 30 years to the day after E.B.'s death, a thinly veiled version of E.B.'s story was told in the heartwarming family film E.T.
Now,
wow.
There's a lot of this.
There's going to be a ton of this we're going to talk about.
I love E.T.
Because Steven Spielberg used a consultant for this movie and Close Encounters of the Third Kind that was a member of Project Blue Book. And he would go talk, because Project Blue Book is a real thing, a disinformation fucking center, which we'll get into too. Uh-huh. But he was a real entity of the government, and he used him as a consultant, and he told him these stories. He says, it had nothing to do with E.B. It's a story about his imaginary friend that he had when Steven Spielberg's parents got divorced. Which he's fucking obsessed with. He sounds like fucking David Berkowitz. He is constantly in his documentary, the Spielberg documentary. He's like, my parents got divorced.
That was very traumatic
and
for him.
Drown your fucking tears with your precious money, Spielberg. That means with those Jaws T-shirts.
You can't stuff a heart with cash.
That's true,
you
Ben.
You know, it needs love.
Now, even though Dr. Mendoza couldn't save E.B., that's not to say the government didn't do everything they could to save him. They broadcast a distress signal into space, calling the whole effort Project Sigma.
Ooh.
And even though no answer came from the Ebens, as E.B.'s race was called, the communication with alien races was deemed to be a worthy cause. So to deal with this sector of alien relations, President Truman created the National Security Agency, the NSA.
Now, the NSA, technically, according to Bill Cooper, are not held to any laws that specifically name the NSA to them. That's like a part of their way that it was developed, the way they're created, because this is also created by executive orders, which is a kind of a funny thing. Where the CIA was just made with a piece of paper. The NSA was made with a piece of paper. And basically, we're also going to find out the NSA was the perfect shell corporation, the shell entity to put all of the black ops money underneath. And so no one questioned where the money went to because it went to the NSA, and the NSA was outside of the law. So there's nobody who could go, there's like checks and balances.
Now, as far as things went, 1990.
There were a lot of secret Nazis in the country, though.
Yes. Yeah.
They were finding them.
Well, there were a lot of secret Nazis in the country, and some of them were working,
for us.
Yeah, they were working for us, but in what capacity were they working for us? Were they actually working for us? Or were they all just a part of the fucking smokescreen?
I'll tell you one thing. None of them watered that frickin' plant, aka that alien. That would have kept the damn thing alive.
Water. It's easy.
I don't know what to do. We've spun it around 360 times. I have no... we kick it 8 times a day.
Well, as far as things went in 1991, when Cooper wrote Behold a Pale Horse, the NSA's primary function was communicating with alien races, but that was about 5 presidents back, so things might have changed since then.
Things have gotten more subtle.
I don't know about that.
Now, the problem with all this was the alien issue was by no means confined to American borders, but communicating with other nations meant a larger possibility that the secret would get out, so a group was formed to oversee the communications.
And guess what this fucking piece of shit group was called?
The Bilderberg Group. Nicknamed the Bilderbergers.
The Bilderbergers. I love it.
It's kind of cute. It's a good also name for a chain.
It's a good name for a chain. It's a good name for a game. I love it. Also, check out the documentary A Good American. It's all about Bill Binney, who was quite important when it comes to the NSA. It's a different topic matter, but check that one out. A Good American.
All right.
Disinformation.
Bill Binney. No, Bill Binney's very legit.
From the Bilderbergs group beginnings as nothing more than a glorified bureaucracy, the Bilderbergers eventually became one of the main arms of the secret government. Do you see where we're going here?
Okay, listen to this.
I see it clear as I see a McDonald's M.
Aliens fit into the Illuminati like this. The Illuminati, which we are finding out, is many, many board meetings. It's conference rooms that have been occupied by men that are in many different meetings at the same time. Like, there's a meeting happening on the phone, but there's also a meeting happening inside of the room. And there are many different bureaucratic arms. When we did that list of the different groups that consist of the Illuminati, basically what you're talking about is all different arms, functions of the Illuminati. Certain sections of it are in charge of other things. It's a gigantic system of bureaucracy that is meant to be super confusing, and it all is supposed to point up to the Order of the Nine, which who knows what that is. So we don't know where those people are. But the Bilderbergers were supposed, the idea was getting everybody on the same page. Because now these aliens are showing up everywhere. People are making willy-nilly deals back and forth with these aliens, and they're showing up, and we have to figure out how do we deal with them.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
So while alien contact in the 20th century began with Truman, it didn't really ramp up until Dwight D. Eisenhower came on the scene.
Yeah.
Just in his first year alone, 9 more discs crashed in America. 4 in Arizona, 2 in Texas, just 1 in New Mexico, 1 in Montana, and 1 in Louisiana.
Oh, you got to have that gumbo. You got to have that. I'll tell that, Mr. Alien. You like that Nandua sausage?
It's a gross exaggeration of the Louisiana people.
I need water. I just need water.
Oh, we ain't got no water down here. We just got nice. You got a roux. And you pour that brown sauce on it. I don't know what it is, but it's spicy enough to make your feet sweat.
Oh, I just want water.
It's
very difficult.
Legitimately hungry now.
Honestly, it is legitimate. It is hard to find water in New Orleans.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Well, honestly, though, Dwight D. Eisenhower, he does look a bit like an alien.
Yeah, he kind of does.
So maybe they thought that they had taken control.
He's got a bulbous head, top heavy.
He's very, what's his name? Like the quarterback. Reminds me of,
Like the quarterback.
Not the secret gay one.
Terry Bradshaw?
Nope. The other not secret gay one.
Which?
Not Troy
Aikman. Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. And who was the secret gay one?
Troy Aikman.
Just, all right. You know what? That's fine. Dwight D. Eisenhower's farewell speech, by the way, is the greatest presidential speech of all time.
It really
warrants about everything that actually happened. So you do wonder, maybe extraterrestrial influence.
Exactly what fucking happened. I just punched Kissel in the arm. Yeah.
I don't know why. I did feel it.
He warned against the military industrial complex.
Right
and
away.
If you want to know more about that, watch the documentary Fog of War, which is fantastic.
But a part of remembering, so Dwight D. Eisenhower, was a general, right? So a part of what generals do and the way they lead, and they said that what made him really effective is he was very good at delegating responsibility. Mm-hmm. He would form committees of people he trusted, and when they gave him an answer of what to do, he would go like, go solve this problem. They would figure it out. He'd come, he would activate it. And he made sure that he surrounded himself what he believed with our trustworthy people that would help make the whole system run really smoothly.
Are you describing a president with like good leadership skills?
Yes.
Because I don't, I've never experienced one
but
of those.
But the problem is that he over-leadershipped himself into the NWO.
Mm.
Like, he made this happen by essentially handing the keys to guess who?
Nelson Rockefeller.
Oh my God. I'm getting the meat sweats.
Yeah, he knew he had to do something about the alien business, but he knew going public
because
or even
like,
congressional.
Because there's aliens popping everywhere.
Yeah.
He's used to it. He's like, I just got done with the Krauts. I just learned that you can't trust an Italian. And now here with zip zap and fucking biggity bongs everywhere.
Oh, well.
Now, this is somewhat understandable given that the Rockefellers helped to put Ike in office, but Eisenhower's decision to involve one of the wealthiest families in the world, along with involving the Council on Foreign Relations, which Eisenhower was a member of, proved to be a fatal decision.
Now, remember when we say stuff like Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commissions and all these things, this is just dudes in a room that our government just gives money to, and they just sit and come up with answers to questions that are all like not in factoring humans as a part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like lives. They just sit and they say stuff being like,
numbers.
Well, if we just get rid of 350,000 of them, then we'll have our solution right there.
There's enough chocolate for everyone. Yeah, it's just people who helped him out and they got a job.
Yeah. So Eisenhower and Rockefeller together formulated a group that would work as a kind of alien task supervision secret structure, as Bill Cooper called it.
Mm-hmm.
And within a year, that structure would emerge as Majesty 12.
Okay, now, interesting.
Yes, now Majesty 12.
Majestic 12.
It's all over the place, and Bill Cooper technically does change name 3 or 4 times. He calls it Majority 12, he calls it Majestic 12, he calls it Majesty 12, and it, like Donald Trump being president, every single time he says something, even if it's different, that's the new name of it.
Okay.
That's now the name of it.
I guess so.
But you remember, it did not start as Majesty 12. It started as a thing called the Planning Coordination Group, and then eventually turned into a thing called the Special Group, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound so good.
Because it's just circle paper. Right. That was for a while. They were using circle paper. Ooh, everyone has those big crayons.
Why did we decide on square paper?
And they all sat in chairs, those bouncy chairs.
Oh, my goodness. Then you get an exercise well, you said.
And then you get, then it became Majesty 12.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, within 10 years, Majesty 12 would have the power to murder presidents. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, hey, fucking dog meat. Why are you doing this
for
listeners?
My goodness gracious.
So later on in 1953, we Americans started tracking huge objects moving through space towards Earth. Turns out these objects were spaceships. So Project Plato was created to put us in contact with them. And the aliens contained within those spaceships were the Grey.
Well, honestly, Project Plato with the special group does sound like a...
It is fun.
It sounds like a special kindergarten.
It's just how you do a bunch of... If a bunch of senators got... Remember the movie Regarding Henry?
Mm-hmm.
When the lawyer gets shot in the head and then he becomes a member of the special group?
Uh-huh.
It's like you've got a bunch of senators now are a member of the special group and you're like, no, this is really important, guys.
Yeah.
It's Project Plato.
That's right. They're all like Cameron Diaz's brother in the movie Something About Mary, yes. Which I just rewatched.
It's very good. Project Plato realized that you could talk to them using binary code.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in there. And actually, there was 3 visitations. The first visitations were Nordics. There were aliens that looked like us. The second group was a group of aliens for some reason that we now deal with, large nose grays,
mm-hmm.
that they talk about
like
quite a bit.
Now, if I remember correctly, the Nordics that showed up, that's when Valiant Thor showed up?
Yes, he was in there. But Valiant Thor is a Venusian.
Yes. No, I know, but he was just hitching a ride.
He was there. Right. He was hanging around.
So Valiant Thor is there. He's all naked because he wears an invisible outfit.
He wore clothes underneath the transparent outfit.
What's the point of that?
Because he was trying to be normal. He desperately wanted to be American.
Mm-hmm.
He came and was like, I come to America thinking this is where a Venusian can really make. I want to make a headphones. I'm making the best headphones in the world.
Yeah.
Now, after a quick chat with the Greys, it was decided that the Greys would leave a hostage with us until they could return with a treaty to solidify relations and negotiate in exchange for advanced technology between America and the Aetherians, as they were called.
They called themselves that, possibly could have been a lie. They said that they were from Betelgeuse, but Bill Cooper says he doesn't believe. No, don't say they're not.
Oh!
I've seen The Exorcist a few times, and it keeps getting
funnier. But what now? Serious question. What technology do we have that the aliens would want?
We'll get into it. The technology, my friend, was our bodies.
Listen,
we're about to get
into it.
Oh, my goodness.
Us.
Well, then they would love me.
But Bill Cooper says, again, he thinks that they were lying about where they were from because they may have actually been from Mars.
Yeah, either been from Mars or been from inside the Earth.
Yeah.
Then out, why'd they fly?
Just listen. Just be a good man.
No, I am
for a
listening.
Second.
I am listening.
Instead of taking time to talk.
I'm not taking time to talk.
Technically, he is listening. He's listening. He's asking questions.
Yes.
He's being curious.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be defensive.
I understand.
Now, at the same time that these aliens were orbiting the equator, a different race of humanoid aliens called the Ashtar Command landed at an Air Force base in Florida. Okay. These are the space hippies. They said that we should not trust the other race as they were only in the game to use us. And
sounds
by the
like
way,
the space hippies might be paranoid.
Yeah. I don't know who did it. Maybe it was all that space ganja. That's fun.
And by the way, the landing in the desert of the Greys, you know what that was turned into?
What?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Also fed to Steven Spielberg from the same exact consultant.
Yes, which is different than just Encounters of the Third Kind. It's much more awkward.
Yeah. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That's a breakup offense.
You're standing quite close to me.
Yeah, it's very Seinfeld. Yeah.
Well, the space hippies said that we shouldn't trust the Greys as they were only in the game to use us, and the space hippies wanted to negotiate as well, but their conditions proved to be untenable as they demanded we completely dismantle all of our nuclear weapons in exchange for quote-unquote spiritual development.
They were Russians. They were Russians.
No, the Russians are actually working in conjunction with us.
Yeah, we're working with them because the Russians are, they're saying the same shit to the Russians, saying, oh no, we're only working with you. Basically, we're talking to the Russians, realizing the aliens are telling them that they're only working with them, and the aliens are telling us they're only working with us. They're lying to everybody.
Yeah.
So is this where, like, start one, start two comes? Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
No.
I like your logic, but actually what ended up happening is...
Just trying to find any kind of thing I could understand.
Once a year... Two nuclear submarines dock with each other underneath a polar ice cap, and in that meeting, the Ruskies were given their script.
They get
for
their
the
script
year.
To play because they're the villains, right? And they dock like two cocks inside of each other.
Yeah,
like,
that thing. Like, oh God,
it's tip inside tip.
Yeah, right, I see.
And they would meet at the center of the tips.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now, the space hippie said that only when we become fully spiritually developed by their standards. Would we receive their technology, as they believe that we would only use new advanced technology to further destroy ourselves, which, considering what we've done with the internet technology we were eventually given by the Aetherians, probably would have been the right move. We weren't ready for all this yet.
Yeah. No, of course not. We could not have handled their spaceships yet. Well, we tried, didn't we? Didn't we, dog?
I don't think we can handle them right now.
Absolutely not. Now, we, of course, said no to the space hippies, which isn't the craziest thing in the world, honestly, because if all this is true, and that's one big honking goddamn if... then I'd imagine Eisenhower was scared shitless by all these aliens suddenly showing up all at once.
And you have to remember this time, this is right after we used the atomic bomb. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. I believe it was called End of Days. I believe it was the End Days. And it was about the world right after we dropped the atomic bomb. And what he was saying, like, it's really, I mean, like, the U.S. at this point, we had the most powerful weapon to us in the galaxy, and that was a big chip. We are not ready to let that go. We're not ready. No, that's a big negotiating tactic that we always had, and so they held on to that for a long time because there was a hot second right before we decided to say we have to stop nuclear proliferation. There was a second where they were like, we blow up Moscow, we blow up Beijing. There was a whole plan where it's just like, we just wipe out all of our enemies right now.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, and so imagine that. So you're having a real meeting. That's
like
very
a fun
tense.
That's like a super fun war games meeting, too. Just be like, let's see what happens if we blow up just any part of the world.
Think about that. So one meeting's having a very legit, very tense meeting about the Russians, the Chinese, and we're going to blow them all up using atomic weapons. And then while that's happening, two submarines are underneath. Like Arctic fucking glaciers just sitting there being like, those fucking idiots wasting their time. They're slapping each other, blowing each other's girlfriends, just having a great time. You know what I mean? Like, just enjoying each other in the submarine.
That sounds fun.
And so we went with the Aetherians. Now, if you'll remember from our Valiant Thor episodes, we already talked about the deal Eisenhower made with the aliens, specifically with a diplomat called His Omnipotent Highness Krill. And that's spelled K-R-L-L.
A little pretentious. A little pretentious.
According to, it's three L's.
Excuse me, three L's.
Three L's.
Krill.
Wow, that's an obscene amount of L's.
And because American soldiers cannot handle the title Omnipotent Highness, they would call him satirically His Official Hostage. Krill.
Right. Now, the deal was that in exchange for advanced alien technology, the aliens would be allowed to periodically abduct humans on a limited basis so that they could perform medical experiments and monitor our development. The reason behind that was that the DNA structure of the aliens was breaking down. They couldn't reproduce anymore, so they figured by studying a race that was alien to them, humans, they could figure out a way to get back to reproducing, because the Greys, it was kind of a Children of Men type of scenario.
It's like what Maude did to the Big Lebowski when she had him go get to the medical doctor there and get the checkup on the old testicles.
He's a good doctor.
He's very thorough. So she could procreate.
Also, if there's one thing humans are good at, and they talked about this as a point, this is not just me being Henry Zebrowski. They knew if humans are good at one thing, they're good at fucking.
Yeah.
They were like, humans fuck. We like juicing them. They are attracted to humans, mm-hmm. which is very interesting. Mm. It's a part of it, too. We make them super horny. Look at our live bodies. Can you imagine? Because it's differently, like, horny.
But the thing is about all this is that it was promised that the experiments would be completely harmless, and the experimentees would be returned to the exact spot where they were found with their memories wiped, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you won't be shattered by that psychologically at all.
And in addition, to make sure we knew everything was on the up and up, the aliens would provide Majesty 12 with a list of all the abductees on what I assume to be a quarterly report. Now, we would also construct underground bases where the humans and aliens could work together, like we talked about in our Dulce episodes. And we also built a top secret facility out in the desert for the testing of experimental alien aircraft, codenamed Area 51.
Now, this is where the money comes in. NSA was using this as... So they were hiding all the money. They were the ones that... They used the NSA as the excuse to put all this black op budget money in there. The president at the time... The idea was that the system would go from then on. The president would have no idea how these systems worked or what they were doing.
Who we got now? We got Nixon or we got LBJ in
right
there?
Now, we're still in Eisenhower.
We're still in Eisenhower.
This is them setting up the system. What would happen now is that they basically, under the auspices of, we're building places for the president to hide in cases of emergency, we're building these gigantic underground structures. We know we're using them for the working on alien-human technology hybrids, right? And also genetic experiments and all this bullshit. And a part of what is so weird, but we're telling future presidents, no, we're building golf courses.
Underground golf courses.
Now, in other words, Bill Cooper's secret government conspiracy includes damn near every alien conspiracy there is.
Good. It's the best one.
And so we're like hundreds here?
Oh, we're talking dozens at the very least.
Dozens.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're talking about the legitimate alien conspiracy.
The big, meaty, fat ones.
Yeah.
We just don't understand. This is just a field day. Every other sentence is another research hole.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're just getting started.
All right.
And speaking of which, let's really get into Majesty 12, erroneously called Majestic 12 by those not in the know.
One poor suspender-wielding UFO expert specifically.
Yes.
Now, Majesty 12 actually had 19 members. There was Nelson Rockefeller, naturally, a few of Ike's cabinet members, J. Edgar Hoover.
Ooh, interesting.
Six guys from the Council on Foreign Relations called the Wise Men, and six dudes from the Jason Group.
Don't even say Jason. It's capital letters.
Yeah, J-A-S-O-N, all in capitals.
Is it an acronym or is it just the Jason Group?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay. It comes from Jason and the Golden Fleece.
Yes.
That's what the idea is, that it's always been an Illuminati thing. We're going to talk about this right now, so...
Now, the Jason Group, who I'd actually never heard of before Bill Cooper, was a secret society of scientists formed during the Manhattan Project, which was the operation that gave us the atomic bomb. And the Jason Society actually sounds a hell of a lot like the comic book The Manhattan Projects, which gives us another pop culture reference point. Manhattan Projects, if you never read it, it's fucking fantastic. It's the best comic book to come out in the last 10 years.
But also, apparently, the Jason Society either was formed then or it's always been around. And actually, technically, what it was is, because it's always been around, it was a member of the Order of the Quest. Order of the Quest is a level of the Illuminati, which is the top tier. Jason Society was on the same level as Order of the Nine. And then it's, who's their boss?
double top tiers.
Always.
Look at that.
Now, you may ask, if it's called Majesty 12, why are there 19 members?
Why are you asking stupid questions?
If it's Majesty 12, why are there 19 members? That's what I would like to ask. And technically, I just did.
Well, the first rule of Majesty 12 is that no decision can go forward unless at least 12 members vote yes.
It's like grand jury duty.
Actually, it is. Very much so.
Interesting.
Is that really how grand jury duty works?
Yeah, there's like 19 to 22 people and 12 have to agree to indict, which is why the entire system is completely corrupt and it's a absolute bullshit procedural
event. It's also why Majesty 12 could be real.
And those decisions that were decided on by at least 12 were carried out as the majority 12 directives. So just 2 years into the 1953 Human-Alien Plato Treaty, as it was called, it was becoming clear that the Aetherians were not holding up their end of the bargain. Now, we were getting plenty of technology, but we were starting to find the mutilated remains of both animals and humans all across the country.
Yep. We, the, and it increased. And also... It's, what I love is this. The aliens were not sending in their paperwork. And it looks really weird. It seems like weird that like this far, far advanced culture would show up and it all sit in a room with all of our fanciest generals and scientists and all looking up there and they're like, so now, if aliens, we're going to sign this piece of paper and we're all going to agree to do this, right? And they're like, yeah. Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, it's not like I walk through a wall to come in here. It's not like I traveled from Betelgeuse to be here. Are you lying about Betelgeuse? No.
I love it. Get the paperwork in.
Yeah, these guys, the Majesty 12, it's like they're asking the aliens to submit like 1099s.
Because it's government.
Well, you need it, honestly.
Yeah, it's government. Honestly,
the aliens must have just really hated big government. At the end of it, it's just like, you know, the American people, they are up their own ass with this bureaucracy.
The Illuminati
crap.
Is a very democratic idea.
What tech were we getting at this point? People had TVs, I guess.
Well, the type of tech that we're getting, they actually rolled out over the next 50 or so years.
Oh,
like the text
I see.
That we got from it, like Wi-Fi, the internet, all that type of stuff. Supposedly, despite all of the evidence to the contrary that humans created all that stuff, supposedly the aliens gave that stuff to us, and all of the people actually working on that stuff were just sort of busy bees that we gave them the technology because they'd work on it for a while and be like, oh, hey, you created the internet. Congratulations.
They also came up with the idea of putting cameras inside of the refrigerator so that you don't have to open the door. You just press the button on the panel on the front of the refrigerator, and it just shows footage from inside of the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. Well, what? It saves coldness.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest damn thing I ever heard
of. When
I
went refrigerator shopping, I became lost in options.
I thought it was...
Because in Los Angeles, you have to buy your own refrigerator. It's not like in New York. You have to provide one for yourself. And I started being like, well, I want the cheapest one possible. And then I started looking at the elite, like, platinum-level refrigerators. You don't even have to open the door.
Yeah, smart fridges.
I could set it from my phone. I could watch footage from inside of my refrigerator, longingly look at ketchup while I'm just on the train.
As if the movie Sausage Party is real, are you expecting an interaction between the mustard
and
the ketchup?
I tell you what, if they do come alive, there's going to be a bit of a sausage holocaust in my home because I'm not having talking food in my fucking house.
No, you can't have it. I mean, it's your house. You're paying rent there.
So when we finally confronted the aliens about all this stuff, they said, all right, you got us. We've been harvesting glandular secretions for years, and sometimes things go wrong, but... it's necessary for our survival as the harmless experience weren't really doing much for
us. But my big question, so you're allowed to work on a need-to-know basis. Aliens were going to need to know basis, too. Mm-hmm. And you didn't technically need to know what we were doing to the Whitley Streepers of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess not.
Now, armed with this information, we started to dig a little deeper into the alien story. If they were lying to us about this, what else were they lying about?
Oh,
and just how long had the aliens been coming here anyway?
And I tell you what, the lock screen on an alien's cell phone's really difficult to get through, can't look at their texts.
We discovered, through crack research, mostly in the Vatican, that aliens have been manipulating us for centuries through religion, witchcraft, and the occult. And that includes the Book of Revelation.
Apparently the Pope has a box filled with secret prophecies. I don't know if this is true or not. I hope it is.
Shoebox.
I hope it's stuff like you. The Pope could just go and be like, on Tuesday, I will purchase a pastrami sandwich. And puts it in, and then on Tuesday, he's like, the prophecy has come to pass.
Well, you just got to get a pastrami sandwich.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, when we confronted the aliens about this, they said, yeah, you got us again.
So they're really up front. When we do confront them, they do confront themselves pretty quick.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
They also told us that they had traveled forward in time and had seen that these events, at least in the current timeline, were sure to come to pass.
But what it said is that what they found in the Vatican prophecies is that the Earth was going to explode anyway. That basically our treatment of the environment and our use of weapons is going to kill us no matter what.
Yeah. Well, isn't that molten lava in the center of the Earth going to get real hot one of these days? That's what I was reading.
Well, I mean, volcanic events, catastrophic volcanic events could very well be in our future. These volcanoes could actually erupt at any moment. They could happen now.
When it happens.
Happen now.
Right now. When it happens, can we call it the global hot pocket event?
Ooh, yeah, we can.
We're not going to be alive to call it the global hot pocket.
Well, good. We can call it whatever you want to call it.
We can joke about it for like 2 weeks, and then we're all just going to kind of suffocate.
All right.
Yeah. Man, hot pockets are hot, though.
They are.
What's wrong with them in there? It's ridiculous.
Well, using technology borrowed from the aliens and working in conjunction, again, with the Soviet Union, us Americans created Project Rainbow travel to the future, and also confirm that this prophecy was true.
And that sounds familiar. That's from the Philadelphia experiment as well.
So how far did they travel into the future?
I don't know. How far did they travel?
20 leagues. That's, I remember that Obama was a part of it.
Well, Obama traveled to Mars.
Well, he had to.
When the hell did Obama travel to Mars?
You don't remember Philadelphia experiment?
Yeah, that was Project Pegasus.
Project Pegasus.
Yeah, that wasn't... Project Rainbow and Project Pegasus were kind of running...
Concurrent
next to each other. But they were two... they were talking.
They were blabbing.
Yeah, they were in different conference rooms.
Okay,
That's how it goes.
Maybe in the urinals or something, they would cross paths.
You wonder why it's so hard to get a conference room booked at your office? It's because the Illuminati is coming there and they have booked it. Because they have meetings logged.
Yeah, okay.
So, what were they to do then, armed with this information? Well, Eisenhower tapped the boys from the Jason Society, and they came up with three plans known as Alternative 1, 2, and 3. Alternative 1 was to blast holes in the stratosphere using nuclear weapons so all the heat and pollution and bad stuff could escape into space.
I like that one.
I don't think it's a good idea, Eisenhower.
I think that's a great idea.
And then after that, we would change as a global culture from an exploitative species into one of cooperations. And after that was deemed to be a really fucking stupid idea.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
It's a really dumb idea.
How do you get the smoke out of your house? A chimney. To make a huge... on the South Pole. Get it out of here.
The Earth is not a log cabin. If you pop a hole in the stratosphere, I seem to think we're more like a balloon. Then everything would go out the hole. And they said that's the reason why we maybe have a hole in the ozone layers, because they tried to do it.
Well, Bill Cooper said that they may have tried Alternative 1, but that's just speculation. That's speculation, of course. Well, Alternative 2... posited that they could build a huge network of underground cities and tunnels where the privileged few would survive while the rest of us burned on the surface, kind of like the Fallout games.
Cool.
Oh, yes. Or Dennis Leary and his motley crew in Demolition Man.
No, not really.
Okay.
They were just poor.
They were eating rats. They were eating good.
Shut down.
Yeah, because they just put the poor people down in the sewers. That's what Demolition Man was.
Yeah, but if you think about it, they're also elite in their own special way.
Interesting. They had that fun restaurant, though. I remember that nice
restaurant. The rat restaurant.
Yeah, they had the rat restaurant, and they had that bitchin' car.
Yes.
Yeah, they were doing okay.
I tell you what, I'm going to need more than a couple of shells to clean up my mess half the time.
You are disgusting.
Now, Alternative 2 is a little more plausible, but then there's Alternative 3. Alternative 3 proposed that we would use the alien technology we'd already been given to establish colonies in space.
Oh.
Bill Cooper said at the time of his writing in 1991, there had been a moon colony named Adam that had been around since the 50s.
Cool.
Now here's where things get interesting. How do we fund all of this bullshit?
Where's the money going to come from?
We got to start taxing plastic bags.
That's very smart.
5 cents a pop.
Very, very smart.
How do we pay for moon bases and underground bases and experimental aircraft facilities without Congress knowing?
It's Congress a bunch of fucking busybodies.
Well, they control the purse.
Well, it had been decided, judging from the reactions of the four civilians present at the signing of the 1953 Alien-Human Plato Treaty, that the public would not be able to handle the reality of aliens on Earth.
They had a dude write, did you read that letter that the guy wrote after the meeting with the aliens?
No.
And he was like, my life is over.
I did read
my
that.
World is shook to its very core. I cannot see an alien ever again. Like, this guy was fucked up.
Mm-hmm. He was like a reporter, right?
Yeah. He was just fucked. He didn't know what to do.
I understand. Yeah, people cannot handle change very well.
No. Yeah.
And it followed that if the public could not be told, then Congress couldn't be told either because they'd have all the debating and voting that would need to be done.
Everybody just I would like
our congressman or woman to tell us if there was an alien life out
there. They totally would, and it's a civilian government. Exactly. So, you know, these people are coming in and out. They're voted into office and they're out 2-4 years later. What are they going to do then?
Sometimes, except for these creeps who stick around their entire lives and ruin our fucking government.
Fuck all them. Senators do is play the sit-down game with children.
We don't want to get into that.
We don't want to get into that, although it is proving to be very true.
Yep. Dennis Hastert.
Well, Roy Moore.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get into it.
And so to fund all these projects, they needed outside funds, which is where the CIA's habit of justified illegal activities began, specifically their involvement in the illegal drug market.
Now, if you look at this, right, this is where I love fucking Bill Cooper, mm-hmm. is that he ties just enough real things that are motives that you could see. You could see how they thought this out and how logically if the CIA is running shit, right? Mm-hmm. The CIA and the NSA are the ones that are doing all of it, and they're completely in charge. Because Eisenhower said from the very beginning, the way he governed and the attitude that ran through the whole thing is said, just do it. He's like, because it's a military idea of being like, just tell me when it's done, and then it's done. I don't care what you do, but just show me results.
Delegation of authority.
Yes, and so CIA knew, okay, so we're just going to do it our way. And this is how they've already did it, because we've already seen it. It's Iran-Contra, like all of the Contras. We saw all that kind of shit where it's like, this shit's already happened. So maybe, just maybe, some of that drug money went to aliens.
Ah, the drug money went to the aliens. All right.
No, the CIA couldn't have done it alone, at least at first. They got their first foothold with the help of future president and member of the Council on Foreign Relations, George H.W. Bush.
David Copperfield.
Oh, man. Herbert Walker. All right. Walker. And of course, he was the head of the CIA at this point, correct?
He wasn't the head of the CIA yet. Before he was the head of the CIA, he was CEO of Zapata Oil.
Yes.
And he allowed the CIA to use the Zapata Oil offshore drilling rigs as launching pads to smuggle illegal drugs, marijuana, cocaine, and heroin, into the country.
Man, that's one groovy fucking drilling rig, dude.
Cool drilling
rig. You want to get positioned on that drilling rig, man. Just fucking weed everywhere, just like pop, pop, pop. It's like Richard Speck's jail cell in there.
Oh, my.
Now, America had been using these drugs long before the CIA got involved. But once the CIA did get involved, that's when things truly reached epidemic proportions. And this was all under the direction of MJ-12, Majesty 12.
Oh.
Now, you may be thinking, guys, we only landed on the moon in 1969.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking like, man, we only landed on the moon in 1969.
Right?
Yeah.
How do we have moon bases a full 8 years before that?
Right.
Well, the answer is that the space program, at least the Rube space program, NASA, Henry?
Never a straight answer.
Was the secret government's second source of funding.
Yep.
And for that matter, the whole Cold War was nothing more than a charade, so both sides could funnel money into secret alien projects that we both worked on in conjunction with each other.
Because of it, what's supposed to be, is that we all got to get on the same page. Can't trust the aliens. Mm-mm. We got to figure out how to trust each other.
Yep.
And at the same time, the Cold War allows us to keep all our economies going, because basically now we're on an arms-based economy. Mm-hmm. We're doing all this money's pumping in through the military anyway, and now we got to send our boys to space without anybody knowing about it. And that means we gotta make super quiet space machines.
We still spend less than on average GDP. We only spend 3.3% of our GDP on military. Huh. Isn't that something? $600 billion. But the Russians were spending a lot more, is what I was saying.
We got a nerd alert.
Oh my god.
Political nerd alert.
You don't know how to do the nerd alert.
Well, you know, even the moon base. Yep. That was a joint alien US-USSR base and had been for years. The only time the Ruskies weren't involved was a brief 2-year period when they were banned for trying to gain control of the base, an event that cost 66 people their lives.
Which we covered in our secret space program episode.
Did we cover that one? Or was that, I thought that was a reptilian-based
coup. No. I'm pretty sure it's that.
The Ruskies?
Yeah. They could have been Ruskies, or the time in that story, it might have been the reptilians, and then it switches as to who's aligned with who, and or if maybe the Ruskies are actually members of the reptilian race, or they are puppeted by the reptilian race, or the fact that reptilians weren't even there in the first place, and they weren't even in space, they were living on Earth. There's a whole lot of different storylines.
I mean, if you want to talk about a world leader who looks like a reptilian, I mean, you can't go wrong with Nikita Khrushchev.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah,
look at that, man.
Yeah.
Now, John F. Kennedy.
I mean, Gorbachev literally looked like a map.
Well, now it's time to bring JFK into the mix.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Now, when he showed up being president, what did he want?
Catholics. He wanted the Pope to rule.
He wanted the Pope to take over. He wanted pussy hairs up to his eyelids.
He got that.
He was in there to swill whiskey, hang out with Marilyn Monroe, look at his wife's hats, drive limos around. He didn't want to deal with the super secret space system.
John F. Kennedy didn't know about any of this. And he was actually upon himself for the first year or two. Cuban Missile Crisis, all for show. We were never in any real danger. But sometime in 1963, Kennedy stumbled upon the truth.
Hmm.
The aliens, the drug running, everything. He contacted Majesty 12 and told him, first, knock off all that drug running.
You gotta knock it off. I'm sitting here, and you mean to tell me there's coke coming to this country? That's not coming to the White House? You bring it to me first. I gotta take, what is the quality of this coke? I need to take a look at it, because also he's getting juiced up with meth shots.
Yeah, no, he's all about methamphetamines, but he's doing it pharmaceutically. He's doing it the legal way.
Well, he's getting pep shots. Yeah, they're like pep shots.
Yeah, they're like, good old B12 shots. Give me some bennies.
Give me some bennies. Anything to make me a better president. Also, you mean to tell me these aliens got jerk-off machines that are doing these professionally, and I am not allowed to sample them? I am the most jerk-offable president that's ever been.
Yeah.
Well, JFK also told Majesty 12 that he fully intended to come clean to the whole world about all our alien wheeling and dealing that we've been doing for decades. And so it was decided by Majesty 12 that JFK had to go.
They pulled a Dave Coulier and said, cut it out.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, what Bill Cooper proposes is that it was not Lee Harvey Oswald who took the shot. The bangs you hear were just decoy shots fired by a Secret Service agent into the air. Pep, pep. Hell, Oswald, he wasn't even in the book depository.
Nope.
Where was he?
Hanging out in the alley. He was there. But,
oh, he was.
But he was at work that day, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He worked at the book depository, but he was out in the alleyway because there is a picture that if you zoom into that picture, there is a guy in the alleyway that kind of, sort of, maybe, probably looks like Oswald.
And hello. Is this the application for the job for, is it, oh, it says Patsy?
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
is American Patsy?
You know, the greatest thing is it doesn't even matter that you know that.
Okay, good. Yeah, take job.
You got the job?
I'll all take right. job. I'm all fucked up.
That's great.
So,
your name is Suran Suran, correct?
Well, no.
No.
The person who actually fired the fatal shot was William Greer, the Secret Service agent who was driving JFK's limo.
The driver.
The driver.
Now, I never heard this driver theory before.
Using an experimental CIA-created gas-powered gun, Greer turned around and shot Kennedy in the head with an exploding pellet of shellfish toxin.
Yep.
I love it. I mean, honestly, I have no problem with it. It's just, you don't see him really turn around in the video, though.
You actually do.
Isn't it post-shot, though?
Watch it again.
Yeah, if you look at the Zapruder film, you do see him. Even though the Zapruder film is pretty grainy, you do see him turn around.
This is my question.
I'm just so pissed they didn't release the full documents this year. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
Do you have a projector at home?
No, I don't have it.
The only, because technically you're only legally allowed to watch the Zapruder film on a projector.
Like microfish?
Yes. It has to be projected onto a
load
sheet.
Load your projector up, yeah.
And you
like John Wayne, like John Wayne Gacy showing a stag film.
Yes.
So it has to be sort of like one of those images that you would stare at so you could see a sailboat or something like that. So it has to be really grainy so you can just kind of make it up in your head.
Yes, you have to put it up on the wall. You have to be smoking a half-lit cigar, and you have to break up with Brooke. You have to be alone.
You have like emotionally alone.
Emotionally, yeah.
Okay.
And had Kennedy's brain not disappeared, then we would have proof of this exploding pellet of shellfish toxin.
Okay.
Alternatively, Cooper and others also posit that Greer just turned around and shot Kennedy with the plain old 45. And that's why Jackie Kennedy was seen crawling to the back of the limo. It was not to collect her husband's brains.
Huh.
It was to get away from Greer.
I always want to get away from a limo driver.
Yeah. A horrible Uber ride.
And after this, presidents tended to stay in line.
Yeah.
There wasn't any real trouble between Majesty 12 and the executive branch until Nixon got in trouble with Watergate. See, Majesty 12... they were afraid that an impeachment trial might lead back to them, as Nixon was 100% on board with all things alien and had been for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the first military coup in the history of the United States was carried out. The Joint Chief of Staff sent out a communique to all the U.S. Armed Forces commanders that said, upon receipt of this message, you will no longer carry out any orders from the White House. Acknowledge receipt.
You mean to tell me we don't have a boss anymore?
No boss.
Yay! Ba-na-na-na-na-na.
And within 5 days,
all the water coolers are immediately Kool-Aid. It's like nothing but fun and good times.
Pizza's everywhere.
Actually, Ben, you'll like this. Some other people say that they got some other armed forces commanders say that in their version of the communique, it said you will no longer carry out any orders from Top Hat.
There it is.
Isn't that fun?
Hmm. That's a fun show here on the LPN Network. Abel and his Top Hat.
Filled with disinformation.
A lot of truth.
Now, within 5 days, Nixon had announced his resignation from the office of the presidency of the United States.
Look at that.
So, of course, if Majesty 12 was willing to kill presidents and force presidents out to keep their secrets, then it followed that other mechanisms had to be put in place to keep some of the little fish in line. And this is where the campaign of disinformation began.
All right.
What they did was leak half-truths, close enough to the whole truth that people could make enough connections to make it plausible and, more importantly, satisfying.
And also then easily disposable.
Mm-hmm.
Because then what you do is you fill it all with tiny little flaws that as soon as you bring experts in to examine all of the minutiae of all the documents, it's easily debunked.
Mm-hmm.
So basically you let people have enough, you give them enough rope to hang themselves. Basically.
Exactly. Yes. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And that is why most people know Majesty 12 better by its other name, Majestic 12.
Yes.
And who else was the main disinformation agent other than our old friend of Roswell fame, or as he insists on calling it, Corona? That's right, I'm talking about Stanton Friedman.
Oh, just another goodness. Walk through the grocery store.
Does that sound like a trip to the grocery store to you?
Stanton Friedman was the proponent of the Majestic 12 theory, which is a group of photographed documents that were shipped to a filmmaker that approached Stanton Friedman to help verify that these were real CIA, U.S. government documents that listed a group called MJ-12 or Majestic 12 by name that would eventually go unnamed, that featured 12 guys that were also on the list that Bill Cooper's named.
I thought there was 19 of them.
No, this is, again, this is why it's...
Where's the other seven guys?
This is why it's disinformation, because it has a half truth to it, because there is still 12 in the name, but it doesn't give you the whole truth that there are 19 people in the whole thing. It just gives you the 12, and that makes you think. And I actually remember us talking about this on our Roswell episode, and Ben, I believe you brought this up, that with 12, there is no majority vote.
There's no majority. Would make it very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's true. So with two other ufologists, William Moore and Jamie Shandera, Stanton Friedman was trying to put together this and verify these documents. Now, and the problem is that they will forever be known at their very tricky. They're very tricky to pin down, and it's exactly what the government wanted because it puts a lot of doubt on the subject because there's a lot of discrepancies over the typography, what kind of typewriters were used, when those typewriters were available, the way they dated the documents. There's a lot of discrepancies as to how many commas did they use, a zero before a single digit day, all these kind of things that now. Is all you hear about when you look up Majestic 12. And Stanton Friedman sadly walked into this
world. Punctuation complaints?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Because this is... But this
the
is
content is a little bit more significant.
Well, no, it's not necessarily punctuation complaints. It's more about what certain commas and typography looked like on certain typewriters that were not in government usage until certain years.
You have to remember is that in conspiracy theory, the biggest problem is proving shit, right?
Yeah.
Because most of the time it's garbage. But what you have to understand, and so Stanton Friedman tried really hard to pin down what is the, its schedules have to line up with the different members that are listed on these meetings. All of the typography and the verbiage and the way they talk to each other has to be just on point for it all to be completely true. So Stanton Friedman can finally come out and say, look how it's true. But if you look at now, I was reading an article about counter espionage that's happening right now. And they're talking about like the secret dossier that's supposed to have the fucking pee-pee tape, but all these with Trump, all this bullshit, but they say that there are spies in Russia that have made fake pee-pee tapes with a man who looks like Donald Trump pissing over a bunch of prostitutes, and they have to, and they disseminate these tapes that are out there, but the problem is that you have all of these spies have to sit in a conference room watching videos of men peeing on people having to come up with the exact being like, this is definitely proof.
Yeah, honestly, the The Clintons financed that entire thing. Interesting day for the actors. That is also maybe the number one show just in Russia.
We should talk to Anthony Antamanik and ask him if he was cast in any one of those fake peepee.
He's too good. The President Show, wonderful show.
But I'm just saying, it's very difficult to proof. Is such a slippery thing.
It really is. And one of those like little clerical errors is what Bill Cooper points to as to why he believes that Majestic 12 is a fraud. He says that the executive order that created Majestic 12 was numbered 92447, 92,447. Problem with that is Truman's executive orders were only in the 9,000s because executive orders are numbered consecutively from president to president to president. For example, even Trump's most recent executive order is only in the 13,000s. It's going to be quite a long time before we get up to the 92s.
I don't think we're going to get to him.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And these guys aren't the only ufologists. Or excuse me, the only ufologist.
Ufologist.
Burns my biscuit.
They're not the only ufologists on the government payroll. Remember Philip Klass, the dickhead from our Fire in the Sky episode? Yes. CIA agent.
Yep.
Huh? Whitley Strieber, CIA agent.
Yep.
Bud Hopkins, CIA agent.
That hurts me.
I know
that
it does.
One hurts me.
I know you love Bud Hopkins.
That one makes me really upset.
What's wrong with being in the CIA?
Because you are a disinformation agent. Yeah. You're clouding
the
fucking
telling the truth?
And it isn't just individuals. It's the organizations as well. Remember NICAP, a.k.a. the National Investigative Committee on Aerial Phenomena?
That's cool.
They were infiltrated and destroyed from the inside by CIA agents.
Remember, this is all from Bill Cooper's perspective, though. So at this point, he has made an enemy of the entire community.
Yeah.
He is striking out against every single person that he believes that are coming. And so, because Bill Cooper was fucking for real, right? Alex Jones does his fucking broadcast from a mansion in the Los Angeles of Texas, Austin, Texas.
Yes.
He did an entire broadcast from his hot tub.
It was last year's Thanksgiving, I think.
Yeah. Easter. It was an Easter episode.
Oh, my
episode.
God, it's incredible.
Bill Cooper lived in an unmarked street with him and his wife and his precious baby who he loved. When he met other ufologists, there was a story where they were trying to get him for some UFO conference. And he's like, I'll meet you. I got to verify you first before we talk about this. Bill Cooper picked him up in this middle desert town at a diner because they didn't want him to know exactly the location of his house. The guy gets in the car to open the passenger seat door. There's a gun sitting on the passenger seat that Bill Cooper just brought with him. This is the shit that I use to equalize things. He's like pointing a gun at him, gesturing at it, driving with it in his hands.
He seems like a mix of like Ted Kaczynski and Hunter S. Thompson. He's just like batshit crazy, fully armed.
Actually, that is a fucking in the right way to describe.
That's why I love him.
He is a character.
Yeah, and I did get an email. It was either an email or a tweet from a listener that said that he used to be on like an email list with Bill Cooper in the late 90s, and he disagreed with Bill Cooper on something, and Bill Cooper threatened to personally find him and shoot him in the fucking head.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Interesting.
Escalate the situation.
I guess so, yeah.
Well, NICAP, Bill Cooper says, infiltrated, destroyed by the CIA. He also says, and I'm sorry to say this, that MUFON was also infiltrated and destroyed. Apparently, according to Cooper, MUFON is full of CIA agents who purposely, quote unquote, lose hundreds of samples of physical evidence sent to MUFON each year. For example, do you remember Gulf Breeze?
Yeah.
Our man Ed Walters running around in his underwear? All that blue goo?
Uh-huh.
Well, some of that blue goo was collected. And some of that blue goo was sent to MUFON for analysis.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. I'm hearing the allegations. Yeah. I'm hearing and listening.
Oh, Henry, I think you've dropped something here on the floor. Let me just grab it. Oh, it's a badge. It says CIA.
No.
Yeah, very interesting.
No, they test for weed.
Oh, and we're going to address this. What I want to read right now is a passage from Behold a Pale Horse that specifically calls out MUFON, and I'd like our very own VIP MUFON investigator Henry Zabrowski to give a rebuttal.
I'm listening to your concerns. I'm listening to your concerns.
Please.
Here's what Bill Cooper wrote. The members of MUFON are told what to believe and what not to believe. The members do not seem to know that they're being controlled. The members of the MUFON Board of Directors and the members of the Advisory Board of Consultants are for the most part supported by the government in the form of salaries, grants, or retirement checks.
Okay.
You have been a lot more money lately.
So first thing, I will say this. First of all, number one, I believe that this is a direct response to several ufologists calling Bill Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse. Their review of it was technically the headline read, Behold a Pale Horse, more like Behold a Pail of Horse Shit, which is true.
That was Stan Freeman.
Yeah, Stan Freeman.
You're like, Behold a Pail of Horse Shit.
Yep. You know that chapped his ass
so hard. Made him really upset.
Yeah, okay.
Because he set himself up.
Okay, so he's angered with the people of MUFON.
I think he's angered in general.
Well, I mean, you have to address these allegations.
I do believe
serious.
That there are problems in the past. I will say the living situations of most of these UFO investigators is sub-ideal. A lot of times they're living in, I don't know how to put it, they're living in a car. They're living in a car. These people are not the most mobile. But I will say, me,
they
as
seem
a VFX,
extremely mobile.
They are very mobile. They're only mobile. Mm-hmm. They're never stationary.
Right, yeah.
But not much money, but not much gas money. That's
not money
problem.
going in and out. They keep a lot of receipts. Uh-huh. I will say, whatever happened in the past is in the past. I apologize for the crimes of MUFON in the past. I'm going to go ahead and do that for them.
Great.
I'm going to say now from going forward, me as a VIP investigator of MUFON, which I will eventually earn the actual title too. I will, total transparency is the rule of the law. I will document every single thing that I do. You will see my process. I tell no one what to believe. The newest newsletter of MUFON specifically said, be open to belief. So I think they're starting to change their ways.
All right.
It's mostly user submitted in terms of like all the details. They have now a full online archive, which back in the Usenet days, they did not have. So now I'm going to change it. I'm the one. I'm the guy from the inside. If Kissel's going to be
like a little Bill Clinton over here, but we never got the documents, did we?
They wouldn't let me on Air Fuck One. They said, ruin the vibe.
Okay. Interesting.
So at the end of the day, or as of 1991 at least, the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg Group and the Trilateral Commission,
which comes from the Trilateral Commission's name, comes from the trilateral insignia, which is on the flag that the aliens have on their ships.
Okay. Along with Majesty 12, control all the alien technology given to us by the Aetherians and used that technology and all the clandestine operations that had to be done to keep it going to essentially take over the government. But the one thing I like about Bill Cooper is at the end of the secret government chapter, he fully admits that this could all be total bullshit, that he could be fed disinformation, but he still manages to tie it into a conspiracy. This is what he wrote.
There is always the possibility that I was used, that the whole alien scenario was the greatest hoax in history designed to create an alien enemy from outer space in order to expedite the formation of a one-world government.
So none of it's real.
Well, what they say is this, is that what it could possibly be is that all of this was an NWO storyline that was sold, that in order to make the NWO actually finally happen is that using hologram technology, they will fake an alien invasion to bring all of the countries together.
They also like gave it's us, pretty much they stole it from Watchmen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. The
Tupac. As well has been he has been known to perform as a hologram.
Busta Rhymes was a huge proponent of Behold a Pale Horse. Gave a copy to CeeLo.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, he CeeLo
who
did.
Farted himself awake on a plane.
Yes.
So isn't that interesting?
Farted himself woke on a plane.
Yeah.
To the possibilities.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool.
Well, I mean, Bill Cooper in the 90s, sad to say, he recanted all of this.
He did.
All the alien stuff. Yeah, he admitted in the 90s like
this
he,
is the equivalent of the what was it? The television show Dallas. All just being in a snow globe. I feel I do no, feel a little bit.
No, that's Saint Elsewhere.
Saint Elsewhere. Saint Elsewhere. I feel a little bit. I feel a little deflated.
But Dallas was also Patrick Duffy's dream.
It was a dream.
Yes,
yeah,
it's true. It's
so,
true.
It's,
yes.
So it's not.
Yeah, it's a. But he did recant. He eventually came upon he decided that all of this was disinformation. But it's like we were talking about with the Majestic 12 disinformation campaign. All throughout this episode, we've been telling a lot of half-truths. Like, for example, like the biggest and most verifiable one is while the CIA may not have run drugs to fund alien technology projects, they were definitely running drugs to fund other projects. I mean, they flooded our inner cities with crack, and they used that money to fund other black projects. The CIA
prison industrial complex.
Oh, and guess what? And it's
gone.
And you don't think it has not gone further? That at this point in time, that they're so bloated, especially since there's so much domestic chaos. Mm-hmm. There's so much domestic chaos. You don't think the NSA and the CIA right now are doing whatever the fuck it is they want to do?
Oh, dude, they're crushing it. They have more power than ever before.
Yeah, they were just
the so-called deep state that Donald Trump was against is doing better than ever.
Yeah, and he's given him the power.
He gave it to him.
Yeah,
they have the war powers officially. They no longer have to check with the president.
Yeah, it's the secret government.
They can use drones public, whenever they want. Whenever.
It is not.
And they're going to use it here in this country. Not to get too crazy. L.A., Los Angeles just approved drones to be used, even though 6-1 the voters said they didn't want to have it, and the emails that were sent wasn't even up for a vote.
Our fucking
and it
cell
is
phones.
A matter of time before they arm those drones, but that's a whole other story.
Our cell phones, we already talked about how Facebook was essentially used to win the election. All of the metadata they already have, we did the Fahrenheit 451 thing. We already did it. We gave them the keys.
Yeah, it's done.
They didn't have to show up with Billy rifles Cooper. In the streets because they already got us.
Yeah, Facebook, our actual phones, Facebook uses geotag because, you know, when people talk about, it's like, oh, I was talking about this thing the other day, and it all, you know, and the advertisement started turning up. They use geotagging to track where we're going, and they know which locations we go to, and they use that to target ads at us. They already know where we are.
That explains why I get a lot of ham ads.
A lot of ham.
You
wake up screaming, ham! No, but it's true. It's because they are like floating ads. Mm-hmm. They're not listening to us directly, but they can pick up keywords in our emails and the way we talk, and then there are floating ads that are set up like in fucking Minority Report, and it's like you walk into them, mm-hmm. and then they get pinged on your phone, and they show up in all your different social medias and all the different things over and over again. They already got us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you just got to be aware of it.
Yeah. Don't pay your taxes.
You have to pay your taxes. You will go to prison.
Yeah. Conspiracies do exist. There are a ton of conspiracies right now, and most of them are evil, and most of them are harmful. It's just that they're actually boring. They're nowhere near as good of a story as Bill Cooper makes it out to be.
Yep.
Bill Cooper is just a super entertainer. He's better than Alex Jones, and he always was. And what I will say, too, right now, it's like, because all the kind of sex scandals that are happening in Hollywood and politics, how the way it's all coming together, I have a weird ultra theory that now what it is, it's conspiracy theory and stuff like this is more subtle. And that what you have is a bunch of the floating idea of the Illuminati using sex workers and black magic and using all this calling weird and a lot of sexual assault, you know, stuff like within their power games, when they do, it's almost like the elite of our world, the super rich, have absorbed these lessons subconsciously and are now like making the Illuminati real, even though it's not real.
Yeah, it's life imitates art.
Yes, it's like it's a chicken and egg scenario where it's like they're acting like the Illuminati.
Well, it's chaos magic.
It's happening again and again and again.
These things have been created through our subconscious. We have created these secret societies from believing in the secret societies.
They've also been created through gerrymandering, which I think is something we really have to think about as well. Yeah.
Well, that's more congressional gridlock.
Gridlock? All right. Well, Bill Cooper. I mean, a part of me does make, I get a little bit angry because it has led to a dumbing down of our American, the people of the world, unfortunately. Because Bill Cooper was the smart one. And conspiracy theory, and from here it goes only down. But
that's the problem with conspiracy thought. You know, there are very, very, very real conspiracies out there, and this one, like I said, it's full of half truths.
But it's full of
little
fun.
Things like they're like, you know, Nelson Rockefeller, like the Rockefeller family did get Eisenhower elected.
There's
like,
a lot of that. There's all the super rich have been controlling things for a really long time, but that's just how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about. This is the problem. It's like the internet. When I went to Epcot as a little kid, the internet meant I was supposed to be able to talk to a cute Asian girl, and we were all supposed to make Coke together, and it's supposed to be the night of the Coca-Cola. The internet was supposed to bring us all together in theory, right? But instead, it's just developed into a million niches that won't communicate with each other.
Well, the internet is just another indication of how human beings are actually, how we think.
Yeah. But in conspiracy theory, what it should have done was teach us to question authority and do independent research and do it should have done that. But instead, what it does is close people off. Where it's to me, it's like if you could learn more to read Behold a Pale Horse, and it's not taking each word for fucking the complete total truth. It's understanding that there is because there's so many ways to flip a scenario on either side, you should start thinking about putting more perspectives into your life. Read conservative side of Twitter. read newspapers from other countries and how they talk about us. Like, formulate a broader spectrum of perspectives so that you can see that you can see the truth is somewhere hazily in the middle.
All right, well, let's wrap up. Bill Cooper, part two. Unbelievable stuff. Very interesting guy.
Yeah,
love him.
My goodness,
love him. So much.
Let's see here. What do we? I want to thank everyone who came out to the Bell House. Thank everyone who came out to the Bell House for the New York City Comedy Festival. That was such an incredible night.
It was so good to be home and perform for everybody here. It was great. It's been such a long time.
It was awesome. I want to thank everyone who came out to vote on Tuesday. I got 5,100 votes.
Yeah!
So 5,000 people who think I would be a great Brooklyn Borough president, and that was incredible. And so meeting everyone has been so awesome. 2% of Brooklyn. I own it.
Well, 1.8.
Round up. I was told I'm allowed to round up. 1.81% of Brooklyn. I own it. So thank you all so much for participating. It was an awesome experience. And let's see. What else do we want to do?
We got Omaha coming up.
Oh, my goodness.
We got a second show added to Omaha.
I think that's still available for tickets,
Are still on sale. Yeah, there's not that many left, but we've still got tickets on sale for Omaha. Definitely get those soon because it's the trend has been when we do two shows, usually they both sell out. So definitely get your tickets for that.
And it's our last show of this tour. Just come check us out. Watch us be weary and hammered.
It's going to be incredible. I can't believe it, guys.
Yeah.
We're on to our last show of the year. We've had such a crazy year. And I just want to say meeting everyone on these live shows has just been such an awesome experience.
Yeah.
So thank you all who have come out. And again, come out to Omaha. And thanks everyone who participates and provides support with Patreon.
Yes, thank you very much. If you guys want to contribute to our Patreon, you go to patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft. Thank you so much to everybody who gave and who still gives every month. We couldn't tell you guys how much it means
to
us. It means so much to us. Follow us on Twitter at Henry Loves You, at Marcus Parks, at Ben Kissel.
I came back to Twitter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Time to come back to Twitter.
It's bad out
there. That's all right.
Follow us on Instagram at Dr. Fantasty, at Marcus Parks, at Ben Kissel,
That's it.
And follow us on all the bullshits at LP on the left.
That's it. And we got a lot of fun news coming up here. And I mean fun. Yeah. When I say fun, I mean fun news.
And it's not just kind of fun.
It's fun.
It's fun.
It's just total fun.
Full fun.
Full fun. Full not fun. Kind of fun. LPN Network, Abling's Top Hat, Everything Political, Page 7. We got a lot of things we're figuring out of the network. It's going to be a great 2018. And we're going to continue to grow and all be together.
Take the address numbers off your house.
Well, that is
throw
I don't
your
think
cell
that that's
phone
good.
Into the ocean.
Then they can't listen to the show.
I don't know what to say.
We technically need everyone to have a smartphone.
No one can be on the grid anymore.
That is true. That we have been faced with quite a dilemma here.
One day I will be off the grid.
Just get off of Facebook. How's about that? Let's all agree to get off of Facebook.
And you know what we should do? We should start recording the shows on vinyl.
Yeah, super
Led Zeppelin. But how are they going to order
that? Maybe on the street corner of White and 8th.
So here's what it is. We'll record all of our shows on the vinyl. We'll put ads in local newspapers.
There it is.
Let you know that we're coming to your town to do a live show, and you got to come to the live show
and also
to listen to buy our episode.
Henry will be in Union Square screaming for an hour every Thursday.
I swear to God, I will leave the grid at some point. I will be gone. I will be gone in
hour. Can't wait. All right, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Hail yourselves.
Hail Gain.
Hail me.
Magustalations.
You don't pay your taxes.
You have to pay your taxes.
You have to.